This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Caroline and Uma with you on the evening edition. We're talking about nationality laws and how easy or not so easy it is to get citizenship in this country, especially if you're married to a foreign spouse. Now, we're going to cross over now to Goh Siew Lin, who is a family lawyer and advocate of women's rights. Siew Lin, thank you so much for being with us on the evening edition. Let's start with perhaps why these gender bias laws exist in the first place. Was this a law that we inherited from our colonial days?
I think in the past, the women were considered chattels of their husbands. So this also is reflected in our marriage laws, where, say, for instance, a woman wishes to divorce, her domicile would follow that of her husband. She doesn't have an independent domicile. So I suppose in the context of nationality laws, this also applies and is biased towards the men. I think we are treated as second-rate citizens, unfortunately, and I think, you know, we shouldn't really look too much in the past, but we need to move forward and see what we can do, whether we have the political will and the groundswell from those who are affected and who are suffering to make a change. You know, it must be a priority area. We cannot just put it, you know, aside and ignore the elephant in the room, because there's so many stateless children, so many women who are undergoing this issue of nationality visa, doing visa runs and all sorts. So, you know, this must stop. You know, I hope with the new government, you know, we will see some positive change and commitment. That's what we want to see.
Right. So what do these men and women who are going through this problem have to do to navigate around these laws?
The law is unclear. So what some of the things that husbands or wives do would be, if they're fortunate enough to have qualifications that warrant the issuance of a work permit, they will be here on a work permit, or they would hold a spousal visa with or without working rights. And those who are not so fortunate, they have to resort to visa runs, you know, within the region, in and out of the country. Children too. So the children who I have handled matters for adoption, they every 3 months, this child has to go in and out of the country to be here. Because although his father is Malaysian, his mother was Thai. So this was really a very tragic case.
What would it take to amend and reform the nationality laws? I mean, how do we address this?
I think there are many ways that we can address it. One way is as an interim measure for those persons who are undocumented or those who have no status to accelerate the process to document all these people, especially in the rural interior areas, for example, Sabah. Secondly, if in the interim, unless the government sets, you know, specific timelines or specific goals for persons to acquire citizenship, right now is very vague, and also right now is at the absolute discretion of the Home Minister. So I would suggest that we decentralise the discretion or widen the discretion amongst a few ministers. This is just a suggestion that was proposed at yesterday's conference by Anu Xavier. So perhaps set up a committee so that the discretion is actually shared and not weighted in the absolute power of one person. So, and another way would be perhaps to set up a new parliamentary reform committee to investigate and also to actually see whether we could set up specific nationality laws for Malaysia, for example, like the British Nationality Act or even those that are in Singapore.
Right. So in the past, changes were made for women to have equal rights for filing their tax returns and obtaining full child custody. Were these things difficult to do and what were the struggles there?
I think in terms of child guardianship, that came about as a result of our constitution being amended to include the word gender, non-discrimination on the basis of gender. So that was in the 90s. And then following that, there was an amendment to the Guardianship of Infants Act to give equal guardianship rights to mother and father. It is not easy. And some of the struggles, for example, was the Domestic Violence Act. In the early years, you know, family violence was seen to be a private matter, nothing to concern the state. Women were not entitled to state protection, but this lobby continued for 11 years until the Domestic Violence Act was enacted, and now it's been further amended in, I think, 2011 or 2012. So it does take some time. But as you can see, the Sexual Offences Against Children Act, that took 1 year. So it really is political will. Why does one legislation play such an uphill task in getting attention and recognition that is an important issue? Whereas the second act, it was just train speed all the way until it was gazetted last year. So I really think it's political will. And sometimes I also think it's because maybe we need more women parliamentarians to put forward, you know, issues that are of importance to women and children and to put it into priority and into focus. That's when our voices are louder and can be heard, you know, clearer, and have our issues articulated well, and, you know, have our proposals heard and considered, and with equal weight to other issues of national concern.
All right. So, Siulin, before we let you go, what are some of the other gender-biased laws that you feel must be reformed immediately?
Well, we did have the Law Reform Marriage and Divorce Act that was gazetted last year, which introduced the provision on the father maintaining the children beyond the age of 18 years. There's also the provision which recognizes the non-financial contributions of a mother in acquisition of matrimonial assets. Unfortunately, these laws are not yet in force. So I really, really would like the government to look into this and have an effective date pronounced very soon, because many children and many wives and mothers are suffering. Apart from that, I would talk about sexual crimes. Marital rape under no circumstances should be condoned and the exceptions removed from the penal code. Again, now a very hot debate is child marriage. But of course, in addition to banning and legislating, look into the core issues of why child marriages are prevalent, particularly in the rural areas and amongst the native community. And I think the main driver is really lack of education and lack of economic choice. So the government should see how we can support these people in the rural communities, give them options so that they don't see child marriage as a solution to their economic and financial woes. The other thing which I also would like to see reform is for what we call a sweetheart defense. The boys are not automatically penalized under the Sexual Offences Against Children Act. So if there's a genuine relationship between a girl and a boy, and if the age gap is not too wide, and I think the general recommendation is between 3 to 5 years, then I would urge the government to really consider sweetheart defenses to be incorporated. I think that's the main areas that I would like to highlight that needs urgent attention.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much, Siulin. That was family lawyer Go Siulin with her thoughts on the gender bias nationality laws that impose hard restrictions on women to confer their citizenship to their foreign spouse and children. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.